Chile's government is coming under extreme pressure as violent street protests show no sign of abating.
Protesters clashing with police in many areas of the capital, Santiago.
The protest widened into a mass movement against inequality.
Violence of the state police against the protesters at such a level that the United Nations is raising concerns.
When you f***ing lie to the young people, you will find or answer on the streets. We're just really tired. But not tired of being on the streets and protest. We're just tired of these lies, this constantly lying.
Young people put their feet forward as they walked in protest against the climate change.
I just feel like doing it because it's not so often in Uganda that people of my age stand up and demand what they want.
In Hong Kong, the occasion was marked with riot police and tear gas. Protesters took their anti-government demonstration to the city's shopping centers,
calling for democratic reforms and demanding the city maintain its autonomy.
I don't think I can return to my old life anymore. Like, since it started, then you took up the responsibilities, then you can't really go back.
It's weird because I do feel connected to my hometown, and I will definitely say that Santiago is my hometown. But just imagining raising my future children here is weird because I really don't want to expose my children to so many problems that we have here at the moment. I really want them to have like more opportunities than I have. You know, Chile is seen as one of the richest countries in Latin America. But we, the working class, don't get anything from that. Water is privatized. Privatized education, privatized healthcare, and pension systems still mainly favor the wealthy. We have a huge inequality gap. Low wages, low pensions, and the cost of living gets higher and higher. But the biggest problem is our constitution, which is the main reason for failing healthcare, terrible pensions, and the big gap in our society. We ask ourselves, how can that be still in our law? I remember that day really, really clearly, because it was like Friday, October 18, and the government raised the prices for the metro again. So the working class and the poor people have to pay more for their everyday lives again. After decades of inequality, that was just enough. People got really angry and called on everyone not to pay for the tickets anymore. And I remember that we get like really close to my house, and in one street, there were just so many people doing this. And all my friends and I, we realized that that was only the beginning.
Being around my family gives me so much hope, especially in those moments when I am feeling down. They give me this motivation because I don't want them to pass through the same experience I passed through when I was growing up. So they keep me motivated.
I grew up in Wakiso district in a small town called Chengera. My parents had a plantation where we used to rear cows, other animals like goats, pigs, chicken, very huge plantations, and by then they used to be farmers. But due to the effects of climate change, all the crops dried out due to no rainfall. Sometimes there was heavy rainfall that washed away all the crops, and also the rising temperatures that dried out all the streams and wells where we used to collect the water to feed the livestock. My parents had to sell all the land we had so that they could get money to cater for our food, our survival, our fees. It gets worse and worse every year. Hundreds of people died because of these same floodings. Too many families lost their homes, and mine is one of them. I remember a time when I had to miss my school because my parents were out of money and I had to sit home like for 4 months. It was really very bad, and from then I thought I could do something to change this whole situation. By that time, I didn't know that the effects we were facing were because of climate change.
And yet also another wonderful day where we discuss issues that affect youth in Uganda. Here on the program, Young and Smart. My name is Laureen, and today in studio we have the team from Fridays for Future Uganda.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Nakawea Hilda Flavia. I'm a climate activist and I'm a student at Kampala International University. I'm 22 years old. And I pursue a bachelor's degree in procurement and supply chain management.
So, why climate? You could have maybe gotten another passion, maybe about the girl child or something, or, you know, sexual harassment. Why climate?
Okay. To me, I choose climate because it is something that affects each and every one of us. When you look at our maybe girl child or violation, it looks at only one gender. And in the world, we have two genders. So climate change affects each and every one of us, no matter the age, no matter the size, no matter the gender, no matter the status. So it is something that is connected to us.
I'm born and raised in Hong Kong, and I grew up in the Kowloon side. I would say that my hometown, it's really homey. I always feel connected to Hong Kong because I've been here for like my whole life. I have all my friends around me and my parents are all in Hong Kong. So I don't really have some other places that I could call home.
要班年青人出嚟幫我哋頂。我哋仲有個年青人，我自己個八十後，仲有個成年人。你哋自己問問良心，你過唔過意得去？睇住班僆仔俾人打，你哋心裏面點樣諗？你會覺得好心痛啊！香港人，香港人。
Seeing the activists around me make me realize that there's still hope in this city. Because the major thing of a city is the space and people. Without these two elements, you can't have a city. And people are really united till now, 3 months later. It kills my thought on thinking about moving out from Hong Kong or like going somewhere else, because I can feel the linkage between me and Hong Kong right now. But I think the love and care you have towards your hometown is way more important than success. A long time ago, my hometown, Hong Kong, was handed back by the British to China in 1997 under the premise of one country, two systems. We all were raised with democratic values, with freedom of speech, with freedom of press. But in the recent years, China is trying everything to make Hong Kong just like another Chinese city. They may think that we belong to them, that they possess us. But I'm not from China. I'm from Hong Kong.
I first started to protest on the 9th of June because on the 12th of June was supposed to be the day that our chief executive, Carrie Lam, going to push the extradition law to China, which actually minimized our independence in Hong Kong.
Thousands of people have just wrapped up a rally in central Hong Kong for the fight against a controversial extradition bill.
Those amendments could have allowed Beijing to spirit Hong Kongers to mainland China for any accused crimes, even those that might be made up.
Critics worry that the bill would make it easier for Beijing to exert control over the region.
The situation, we know, turned violent this afternoon as clashes erupted between police and protesters.
For me, I do worry about being arrested, but not in a sense of like, oh, I have to be in jail for like how many years and I lost my freedom. It's not about that. It's mainly now it's about how the police would beat you up in that 48 hours that they're legally to detain you. That's actually the part that scares me a lot.
I think you can't simply ignore the young people and the working class. That will backfire at some point. You ignore the working class, you will have a whole city on the streets. On October 25 of 2019, there was a huge protest in Santiago with 1.2 million people. We pushed for social reforms and more equal society. We thought our voices would be heard. Instead of doing anything that could have improved the situation of the working class, our billionaire president announced that Chile is at war, essentially against its own citizens.
There's a lot of plastic and polythene and dirt. It's just like a floating river of plastic. It hurts so much to see that what we call beauty or nature is turning out to be something evil, something that is going to kill us soon. But some people do not really care. We come out as people to clean it, and still, some people will still throw plastic even when you're cleaning it.
What takes up most of my time in this movement is creating massive climate awareness, because climate change is not taught in schools, so people don't get it when we first talk to them about climate change. So we need rounds and rounds of discussions about it for them to get it, especially the elders feel that they have lived their life and the rest is for us, the coming generation, to do. I also moved to my class where I study from, and I had a conversation with my professor, and when I talked about climate change, he really gave me a negative attitude and told me climate change does not exist. And he told me climate change is God's plan and there's nothing I can do about it. My biggest fears are if government and corporate organizations and individuals do not act towards creating solutions to this climate crisis, I fear that the future I am working for right now will not be there because of inaction.
Like, positively speaking, I will say that every time, even we're like weak and then we're on the losing side, but it's always a chance for us to improve the next time. It's always a chance for us to learn what should we do better, or like what we could have used better next time, what kind of equipment we could have. I would say the worst thing to be on the losing side is that every time you being on the front line, you seeing people getting arrested and then going home that night, you would feel like, why it's not me? When they are actually really close to you, you feel scared. But at the same time, you will have to make the decision like, oh, I could have a chance to save that person. So that's never right or wrong, because it's a human instinct that you protect yourself. But you also feel really guilty if you know that you may have like a 1% chance to save that person, even you don't know that person.
What I like about Hong Kong and the protests here is that many young people, they are so innovative and they use their skills to serve the protests and improve the situation for the people here.
During the entire protest, everyone keeps saying, be water. And as a mapper, I can't direct people and tell them, go here, go there. But I can tell them where it's safe to go. And I think that's the most important for everyone right now, especially as civilians may very easily be caught up in conflict areas because you never know where it's going to be. So we hope that the map can provide information for people who wish to stay safe. Yeah. There was one day when all the protesters were rounded up in New Town Plaza in Sha Tin. So they were directed into the MTR station, into the mall by the police. Basically, they kettled all the protesters in the Sha Tin, and then they just started rounding them up and beating them up. We were just wondering, like, how could this have happened? Why is there nowhere to go, even for people who wanted to escape, who wanted to avoid conflict? So then we decided to draw a map so we could see where the police are, where protesters are, to make sure that people at least have an escape route. So people will know where the police are stationed, where there are a lot of protesters, where there are roadblocks, even how the transport situation is like. So this is information that would be useful for the general public, but would also be useful for people on the front lines if they want to know escape routes, if they want to know basically where police are, where is not safe, where they should not go. Apart from that, we've also gotten feedback from the first aid teams. So they're really grateful that we write down where protesters are, especially we also indicate the density of protesters in different areas so that they know where they should set up their first aid stations, supply stations, rest stations, and all that.
Some friends at work asked me, like, you don't have any fear of being at the front line? And I'm just like, no. I like to be on there because you change this fear into something else. See a person die on the Dignity Square. But I was near when Abel Acuña dies.
Oh,
Este lunes, la Fiscalía recibirá el informe del servicio médico legal que daría luces sobre la causa de muerte de Abel Acuña.
La 22ª víctima desde que se iniciaron las movilizaciones y que murió tras sufrir un paro cardiorrespiratorio en plena Plaza Italia.
También una funcionaria del SAMU resultó lesionada, le llevó un perdigón en la pierna.
O sea, lo que es peor todavía, o sea, aquí estamos hablando de que el personal se queja de que no pudo ejercer su labor y segundo, hay personal que fue afectado directamente por el accionar de Carabineros, lo cual a nosotros nos parece que es gravísimo, ¿verdad? Nosotros creemos que esta situación no debería volver a repetirse.
Ah, que ahí tú te expones a todo, lamentablemente. O sea, Y cada vez más, porque cuando nosotros nos empezamos a dar cuenta del acontecer, estábamos al inicio, ¿viste? Pero en vez de haber bajado eso...
¿Solo ha sido peor?
No, ha sido peor.
Y el problema es que no es un daño puntual,
es permanente. Es que por eso, o sea, no... Yo no entiendo, así, no sé... Como que me da mucha pena... Pero no puedo así como imaginar lo que se debe sentir eso, porque de verdad que...
¿Qué ganas? Si él no iba todos los días, el tercer viernes que iba con dos compañeros más que eran tecnólogos. Y yo le decía, no va. Mami, me decía, si voy un ratito, si salía a las 6:30 del trabajo, llegaba como a las 7:00. Y a las 8 se venía, porque ahí ya se ponía muy mal.
Sí, ese día se oscurece y los pacos se ponen pero como locos.
Ese día yo lo llamé justo, le digo, vente a ver. Sí, mami, si ahora me voy, vente.
Es horrible.
Y a mí lo que más me mata es que el doctor de la Esposa Central... Nos dijo que si ellos hubiesen dejado actuar la ambulancia, él no había fallecido. Porque la ambulancia que mandaron para allá fue la ambulancia con más adelanto, con más equipos adelante. Sí, para lo que él necesitaba.
Se veía en los videos que la ambulancia estaba ahí como el
guardián. Ellos mojaron todos los equipos y los equipos no funcionaron.
No lo podían tener en esas condiciones.
El médico me dijo a mí, él no tenía que haberlo. Fallecido, me dijo, con la ambulancia que mandamos, tenía que haber fallecido.
Y encima están todos estos voluntarios ahí de primeros auxilios ahí también ayudando, que también les dispararon a
ellos. Pero si a ellos también, lo de ellos también les dispararon.
No, sí, está chido.
Y la impotencia es tan grande que de verdad es como... ¿Cómo? Sí, y por eso mismo también como que cuando estoy allá sé que mis papás están preocupados y todo, pero también estoy ahí por ellos, porque por lo mismo, o sea, se esforzaron toda una vida para que yo pueda estudiar.
Yo digo, cuando lo mataron, me mataron la mitad de la vida.
Yo me imagino.
Y la otra mitad por mi otro hijo, mi mamá, pero si no, no sé.
Yo me imagino, porque es un dolor incontenible. No. O sea, mi mamá me lo dice a mí. Así que me imagino así porque...
Esta foto me mata.
Es que sale, ¿no?
Many of them just risk their lives to serve the protest. And seeing all these dead people makes me feel really, really sad, because there is no responsibility at all. No one is taking responsibility for all these deaths. There is no justice, so makes me feel even more angry. I really, really don't want to be the next face on this wall.
I would say to be on the front line, you have to be really clear mind. You have to be calm. At the same time, you have to stay alert. You have to verify things with your eyes, not by just trusting what people saying around. Also, you have to be prepared to be arrested anytime, or you have to be prepared that you're gonna get hurt. Apart from the protests, I've been through like a lot in this past 3 months. I had this boyfriend that I really like. We broke up. I think if the protests never happen, or I never think it's a responsibility of myself, then we would have been still together. I would say it's more sad if we actually fight for nothing at the end. Say one thing is like, if you started to protest, being in a movement or like the situation now, all this kind of relationship stuff, you can just like leave it, and then we can just focus on the society, which is more important than everything. I never cry in the protest. I never cry on the field. Sometimes I would cry after I went home, after I saw some news. But that day when I got beat up, when I feel like I could actually got arrested, there was like 30 seconds to like 1 minute that I feel like I couldn't do that anymore. All I was thinking is probably this is the last time that I could like freely out there protesting.
My confidence for pushing grew up because very many people tell me that I inspire them, and this keeps me pushing because I fear to fail. I fear that if I stop, then I won't have done anything. I could just have left it just like other people do. But since I stood up in the first place, I should be strong enough to stand up until the end. Sometimes I ask myself if I am the right person to lead the movement. And sometimes I feel that maybe someone should be doing what I am doing right now, because I had to change my life in order to support my activism. I also lost some friends along the way because I didn't have so much time with them. I feel like I'm not spending enough time with my parents, and I wish I could spend more time with them, but events abroad always create a conflict in me. This morning, I received an invitation to a World Climate Conference in Copenhagen. That's massive for me. I don't really realize it yet, but I feel like that can really change my life. Activism needs a lot of commitment and sacrifices, but I'm just wondering if it will ever pay out. If people will really listen to me. But at the same time,
this invitation is creating big conflicts in me. Traveling abroad is unusual for me, and I won't be able to see my family for a very long time. It's not easy for me.
De alcaldes de 40 en Copenhague.
Le sommet mondial des maires du C40.
The C40 World Mayors Summit is taking place in Copenhagen.
They'll also discuss the next steps in tackling the effects of climate change.
Prominent politicians will be joined by young activists from all over the globe.
I feel like I've over-talked and like we've over-talked about what's happening. And I feel like we should just act and just stop talking, because after giving these speeches and people say like, or you inspire us, like inspirations every time, and it feels like business as usual. Okay, like, yeah, inspirations, and then you go back home, and then in your bed, like, you stay seated still. You don't do anything about this inspiration thing. And I feel today it should be different. I should talk about me.
In Beijing, where China's parliament has reportedly passed a controversial national security law for Hong Kong. Critics fear it will give Beijing more control over the semi-autonomous territory.
Hong Kong's new security law is in full force with arrests and a very heavy police presence on the ground.
It doesn't just affect Hong Kongers, it actually affects every single person around the world. So if you've said anything bad about China and Hong Kong together through the lens of this national security law, you could be committing a crime.
For a lot of people in Hong Kong, this is considered a pretty dark day.
The Hong Kong security law was developed secretly in China. It forces the protest to end and makes every sign of resistance illegal. I don't go out or I don't see anyone anymore because I want to stay normal and unsuspicious. One of my best friends, her nickname was Blackwater. She was always with me at the protests. She was very brave and she always protected me. We had dinner, we talked about the news and the security law. She told me that she's very concerned about it. And she looked so tired. And she told me that she couldn't sleep. And the next day she got arrested. I've never felt so powerless. It hit me really hard, especially because I can't see her anymore. I can't talk to her anymore. Not today, not tomorrow, not next week, next month, but it is not for next 10 years. One like really close friend tested me right Beijing passed the law and was like, okay, that's it. Everything that we did, it doesn't matter now. And 2 days later, she killed herself. I don't know what will happen next. Maybe I didn't work hard enough. Or we didn't find the right way to express our demands. But But at the same time, I just don't know if there is any other way that we can stop them. My belief in what we're fighting for at the moment, it hasn't break down. But I think my fear is bigger than my belief right now. I think fear is their biggest weapon against us.
Most important? I guess it's this one. I had it with my father. He has it on his chest. And I guess, like, the meaning of this is our entire relation. We still feel this way.
Thank you. I am Hilda, and I am the founder of Fridays for Future in Uganda. I am missing my classes right now, same way I have missed them for the last 6 weeks to create climate awareness. It's not a surprise because I once missed 3 months of school due to the effects of climate change we experienced in my family and community. And my father wasn't able to raise my tuition fees. I am a victim of this whole climate crisis, and I am not ashamed to say so. After the massive effects of climate change in my home village, the heavy rains, the strong winds that washed away our crops, leaving the land bare, the constant dry spells that left the streams dry, my parents had to sell off our land and livestock to sustain our lives. And when the money was over, it was a question of survival and death. I am lucky that I'm still surviving, and I will. I am lucky that I am still surviving, and I will not take this chance for granted, because people are dying every day. I made a decision to protect the only place I call Earth. And by this, I joined fellow young activists all over the globe to protect our future. Through endless fights, sacrifices, we hustle our way because this is our future. I will tell you that we are a generation of scared people, but very ambitious, very united, very persistent, and very good at action. Your beds might be comfortable right now, but not for long. You will soon feel the same heat we feel every day. Be rest assured that youth from the other side of the world fighting for a safe future for you and for us all and are not about to give up yet. Let's move away from this summit with action. I thank you all.
It doesn't really matter if we're smart and innovative, taking it to the street so often, sharing our demands with the world. Now at the end, we're still alone. Everything we've done, it's for nothing.
Last year has changed my life. I don't really know yet if it was worth it, but I'll do everything to make sure that it will be.
Remembering all the fights, all the injured, all the sacrifices people made, it really gives me energy. It's burning in me. I'll do anything for a better future. I owe this to my future children. We already lost so many battles. We can't risk losing this one. We don't risk our future by protesting on the streets. Not going on the streets and not raising our voices will risk our future way more. It's our generation who can change the course of history.